Amen. Well, thank you, Father, for this awesome time we're going to have together tonight. We just praise you, Lord, that we're coming in here in one accord. And we thank you, Father, that we've come for one thing, and that's to glorify you in our words and deeds and to be led by your Spirit tonight. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for an awesome time together. As we talk about the millennial reign, if that's what you want us to talk about, and we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this open heaven that you have afforded us as men and women of God. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's not going to be any different than the rest of them, but we're going to have wonderful testimonies of your goodness and grace upon us. And we praise you, we glorify you, and thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for getting Theo and family here safely. And we thank you, Lord, that he's got a job now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. I don't know that officially yet, but he does have a, I think he said, I got that fly. An offer, yeah. You got an offer. So anyway, let's open it up. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yes, we thank you, Lord, if that's what you wanted to have, the door's open. If it's not, you're going to shut it in the name of Jesus. Yeah, Nick, go ahead, brother.
I just have a quick prayer request. I went to the dentist today and I got 3 teeth filled with 3 cavities, and I'm in a lot of pain still.
Okay. Well, let's pray against that pain. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and I got to get the other side done, too.
All right. Well, Lord, we just ask that you you fill that other side. You do it with nothing but enamel. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the pain is gone from Nick's. We command that pain to go from his jaw. And we thank you, Father, that he's healed, delivered, and set free. And he's not going to have any kind of feelings at all. It's all going to be enamel because you're going to replace it with the enamel. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. You believe that, Nick?
I believe it.
All right, brother. Then it is done. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. All right, Missy.
Ariana put a request there in the chat.
Okay. Now I'm going to pray, Ariana. And you're not going to be anemic anymore. This is all going to leave you. When we pray in the name of Jesus right now, I command this spirit of infirmity off of Ariana. I command you to go from her, and I command the bleeding to stop, and I command strength into her body right now in the name that's above every name. And I command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, be healed, Ariana, and be restored as new. In Jesus' name, and I thank you for more strength in her body, and joy, and peace, and rest. Lord, I praise you, Father. And I thank you, Father, for filling her with your Holy Spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise you, Father.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. It is done. In Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. Y'all can't hear my chair squeaking, can you? Praise God. I know you can't either. Missy, quit that.
Yeah. Anyway.
Amen. Ariana, you are healed, girl. All right. Yeah.
I do have a prayer request.
Okay.
So I praise you for it, but I'll do the prayer request first. My mom emailed me today and she said that her cousin Penny has ovarian cancer, and there's some kind of growth in her brain, and they're going to do surgery to find out what exactly that is or what's going on there. And she has to pray that it doesn't turn out to be malignant. And Lord, I don't know where Penny is with you, Lord, but Lord, I just ask you that she know, Lord, that you are her savior in all things, and that you are her healer, and that she looks to you to be healed, Lord. And we just forbid this in her brain to be malignant. And whatever it is, we just command it to go in the mighty name of Jesus. And we command this ovarian cancer to go too in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just command fear of cancer to go in the name of Jesus. And we break all curses spoken on Penny. On Penny, to we break them all in the mighty name of Jesus. She is healed by Jesus' stripes in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you bring her into the truth of the full gospel, Lord, your full gospel, that you are her savior, our savior in all things, in Jesus' mighty name. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. We believe it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we command that spirit of cancer off of her right now in the name of Jesus. And we command that spirit of the fear of cancer off of her in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for a complete restoration of her body that will astound the doctors. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for doing it, Lord, and bringing her into the full gospel and the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Father. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Hey, Tracy.
Also,
God bless you.
Hey, Tracy. I also have, I want to share something that my sister shared with me this morning. She actually had emailed me and asked me to pray for her and Frank, my sister Cindy, and her husband Frank, because they hadn't been apparently just some not getting along or some tension, strife, whatever there. And so I emailed her back a prayer, and she prefaces her text to me after this later. She says, "This is the results of asking for prayer and God's goodness." And she shares with me her husband's text. "Good morning. I love you. I'm sorry when I don't love you. I'm sorry when I don't trust you. I'm sorry when I disrespect you. I'm sorry when I frustrate you. I'm sorry when I let you down. I love you, Frank. Have a good day." And then she responds, "I love you too. I'm sorry when I give you reason for all those things." And I was just like, praise the Lord. I was like, that is so sweet. Thank you, Lord. And I was just so tickled to get that. And so anyway, praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you,
and this
Lord.
Is my sister, that gave the testimony about, you know, being distracted with her phone and how it caused her depression and so on and so forth. So anyway, praise you, Lord. You're so good. Thank you, Lord, that Frank is coming into the kingdom quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and Retta, good evening.
Good morning. Hi, everyone. I wanted you to agree with me in prayer for my husband. Since he's been committed to walking in his authority, he's been under a lot of attack. So thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for Andre, Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, I give you praise and glory, Lord, that it is your hand that is upon him. And I thank you, Lord, that it is you who guides him. And Lord, no matter what he's going through, I'm asking for wisdom upon him in Jesus' name. I'm asking for knowledge and discernment in Jesus' mighty name. I cancel the assignment of the enemy upon him in Jesus' name. And any plans that the enemy has for his life right now in Jesus' name, I lose angels to frustrate in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for your word in Jesus' name in his life that's coming to life and is setting him free. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask that you place him where he's going to give you the most glory in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, because I receive in faith. And I thank you for his protection as well in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Ann Renner. We believe it is so, everything that she prayed. Thank you, Father, for doing this for her husband. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Can I share a dream I had yesterday?
For sure.
So it was quite strange. I dreamt that I went back onto the, I was called in for a night shift in the psychiatric ward, and I don't work anymore as a nurse. And they weren't sure what time I was supposed to start. And they say, oh, just have a nap and we'll call you when it's time to come in. And then the head nurse, this was like the very first hospital I worked in psych, comes and says to me, you can't go in there. You've lost your stripes. I said, what does that mean? She said, you're not registered anymore. And I said, oh, I don't know, maybe I can do stuff, you know, the registered nurse doesn't have to do, like the rounds or something. So I see if I can make some money. She said, oh no, it's going to rain on us. There's too much regulation. So I said, okay, I better then start to head home. And I'm walking and I see someone who somehow I understood was the devil. He didn't look like the typical devil. He looked like a good looking Middle Eastern man, you know, but he seemed a bit sleazy, and he was talking to a patient who I knew was schizophrenic. And I only knew they were schizophrenic because of the colors around them. Somehow I understood like there was like vibrations on them, voices and things. And he was clearing the voices for them, and he was trying to convince him to kill himself. And I'm walking past and I thought, oh, I don't want to meddle. But, and then I said, I prayed, I said, in Jesus' name, I lose the Holy Spirit on that situation. And I had the guy I thought was the devil say, oh, ho, ho, what did he say? The power of God. And then he started walking towards me. And I thought, oh, and then he comes up and he seems a bit menacing, and he almost grabbed me. And I had started to feel a bit afraid. And I thought, wait, no, because I could see almost like a shimmer between us. And I said, you can't touch me. I'm under the blood. And he looked up and he had like a funny smirk laugh. And he said, oh, so you know about that. And I said to walk towards the ward, which now wasn't called a psych ward. It was called a pharmacology ward. And I could see a shimmer on it. And I thought, oh, now I'm getting onto the devil's territory. And I'm walking in and I started to pray in tongues. And my voice went, and I thought, oh no, it's because I'm in his territory. And as I'm walking, he's walking next to me and he's really watching me. And my voice started to come back, and I understood, even if I'm in his territory, I don't belong there. Like, it can't touch me. He has no power. And I started to sing some really simple songs. And I was singing like songs I sing in Sunday school. I sing, there is power, power. Wonder working power. And I'm walking, I'm saying, in the blood of the Lamb, and I'm singing. And he's walking next to me, and I said, come on, every knee shall bow. You need to sing with me. You know you have to praise the Lord. And he started to mumble under his voice. He's mumbling and he's grumpily going, there is power, power. And it was so strange. And he said, he starts to walk away from me into the ground. And there's like heat coming out of there. Like there was a light coming out where he's walking and I'm walking up the stairs. And I went and I saw my mom. And I said, mom, come, we can leave. We can leave. Like everyone in there was caged and it was busy. There was nurses, there was doctors, people in the beds and stuff. And I was saying to my mom, saying, mom, come on with me. We can leave. and we went up the stairs. And as we went out, she's coming with me. She said, can I really come? I said, yes. She said, oh, wait a minute. I have to go back for my handbag. And she goes back for her handbag and I'm waiting for her. And I knew there was a car that was ready for us there. And then she comes back out and I say, come on, mom, let's go. And then she's following me and then she stopped and she said, but there's people relying on me. I have to go back. And I said, but mom, we can leave. We can leave. And she said, no, no, there's people relying on me. And she started to walk back. And the more she walked back, the more confused she got. And she left her shoe behind and she went and there was nurses waiting for her on the stairs and then off she went. And then I woke up. But yeah. So that was my dream. I really wanted to share it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Father. Lord, get her out of there. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Geneva.
Okay. I lost control of my screen there for a second. So today I got a talking to from my boss, so that was good. but no, I kind of knew it. I wasn't so excited about it. She had told me yesterday that she wanted to talk to me. And if I'm being completely honest, I've been really tired and I've been kind of struggling at work because work has really been really busy. And, I haven't done, I guess, my best I guess you could say, but anyways, I went into it and, said a prayer and me and Morgan prayed and, you know, I had Isaac pray and Marissa and, you know, I just trust in the Lord, to make the best of it. So on my way there, I just was quoting some scriptures, as I was driving to the office and I was just saying, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understandings, but, acknowledge him and he will direct my path. And, anyway, so we went there and, you know, I just pray, Lord, give me the words to speak. And so when she was kind of telling me, you know, that I'd missed some visits, which I'd only miss them by like a day or two. So really not that big of a deal. It's just a compliance type thing, but, still seeing the person. But anyways, when she was telling me all that, you know, I just told her, hey, I'm sorry. You know, I told her, I was like, I'm not lazy. I'm just kind of tired. I'm kind of exhausted, but I will do better. And anyways, I feel like the Lord did make something good out of all this. And we talked about maybe making my schedule more flexible to where I could have a day off throughout the week and just work like an hour extra a day. So that is pretty great. So I feel like the Lord kind of made a situation not that wasn't so great, something that, you know, can be promising. So praise the Father. And then I want to ask you all for prayer because Morgan called me and, he said that he got a call about a interview for an electrical job as an electrician for tomorrow. So, and it's super close to what he did in Ohio, building panels. And that's, so it's basically super similar. And so I just, you know, we prayed and stuff and I was really excited. And I was just like, man, Lord, like, I feel like you're blessing me just to trust in you with this whole situation that I had at work. And I know that he is changing our situation. He's making it, what he wants it to be. And I'm just going to keep trusting in him and keep professing the faith. And me and Morgan keep doing that. I'm not going to lie. I've had some low points, but Morgan's been really strong through the whole thing and just, reminding me of what our word says. And so I just, Michael, if you don't mind to just say the prayer about this interview tomorrow, that the Lord blesses Morgan with the words to speak.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that. Well, Lord, I lift up Morgan to you. And Father, I ask that you flow through him the words that needs to be said to these future bosses of his. And I thank you for it, Father, that he's going to get the job. He's going to get a good pay raise with him. And it's going to be enough to where Geneva can go home and be a mom. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we believe that this is what you want for this family. And I thank you, Father, for doing it for them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that we believe with Morgan and Geneva that this is his job in Jesus' name. I used to love to build in control panel.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, he's got that job. He's got the job.
I believe it. He believes it.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. This will be a change. You'll be able to stay at home. Go ahead, Nick.
Yep, I am. It's actually official now. I am officially a stalker now. So.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Oh, man. That is so great.
And I don't have to go out in that freezing cold.
Well, that's worth a lot of money right there. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for getting Nick in that stock room. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. That's great news, Nick. All right. Anyone else?
I thought Saint Nick was partial to the cold.
I don't know. I don't know. Go ahead, Andre.
Okay, I'm asking for prayer. Seems like my I have another back problem. It's a little different. This one, it's like someone put a knife in my back. And it really was sore. I just went up to take the curtain off of the curtain rod because I put it up on top. And then I just wanted to put it down. And it was like someone stuck a knife in my back. And it happened twice when I was the other day rebuking it each time, of course. And the other day washing dishes, it happened again. It's different from the last hurting back. The last hurting back, I couldn't bend over and pick anything up. But this is different. It's almost like one of my legs are longer than the other. And I go for walks. I get really tired a lot. So, Lord, I come before you. I don't know what this is, Lord. And I don't think it's the same thing as last time. It's way different. And you know, Lord, they tell you when you're 6'4", you're always going to have lower back problems. And I don't want to hold to that because some people are even way taller than me. And I just want to know where they buy their pants. Lord, help me because this is not according to your word. It's not according to the key. The keys you have given us to bind and loose, to open. We have an open door, Lord, for life, for the new life in Christ Jesus. We're reminded of our salvations, Lord, how you even showed us this key to get from death unto life. So, Lord, this is not the Lord. And I pray, Lord, that it would go in the name of Jesus and would never come back. And, Lord, that's about it. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. We believe with Andrew, and in the name of Jesus, we command the pain to go and the back to be restored. Line up with the word of God right now in the name of Jesus. I don't care what you're trying to do. And I command all witchcraft curses spoken against him to go right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Father, that his back is healed, delivered, and he is set free from any pain or problems with his back. I don't care how tall he is. Doesn't make any difference. He's a child of the living God. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Y'all believe that? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you the Tennessee Galchenkos.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody. We're so happy to be in Tennessee.
Yes, it's been amazing so far, and there's going to be a lot of praise reports for sure. So I'd like to kick it off with the first one today. This around noon, we were up in the mountains, and we had no service, and we were just having family time. And just being with the Lord, enjoying ourselves and a day. As soon as we got back to service, I got an email and I opened it and it was labeled job offer. I said, Lana, you got to read this to me. I don't want to read it. So she opened it up and sure enough, it was a job offer and gave me the salary and the start date, which is October 11th. And we were like, well, the Lord can give us a place now, you know, because every landlord wants to see a salary and, you know, proof that you can pay the bills. Well, sure enough, after dinner, we were celebrating Matt's birthday over here. Anna gets a call from Diane Tomek. Michael, you know her. And she says, hey, there's a house. And so we are like, we're going to go see it. And we're like, the Lord's going to lead the way and it's going to be good. I said, if there's a barking dog in the parking lot, we'll know it's not for me. And we get there and the garage is open and there's a dog in the garage, but it wasn't barking. It was just sitting there chilling. But the lady inside, she was barking and I got in trouble for going there, basically early the lady on the phone was Diane Tomek talking to this tenant. She's like, you overstepped your bounds. You shouldn't be here. And I was like, oh no, Anna's going to get in so much trouble. And so I was like, Lord, is that the barking dog I was talking about? He's like, is this place not for us? Well, turns out this Diane Tomek, I spoke with last time I was here, was like a week and a half ago or so. When was I here? I don't even know. But she called me and spoke to me for like 22 minutes telling her life story, you know, and she's a sweet lady, you know, and I was really sad that I had, you know, upset her or, you know, got Anna in trouble or something. Well, she called me right back after we had left and she just, I don't even know how to explain it. Her demeanor towards us was nothing but kindness. She wanted to get to know us and ask us these questions. And so tomorrow we got a viewing at 5 o'clock at this house.
Is it in town?
What's up?
Is it in town?
Yeah, it's in Madisonville.
Just
on the other. Praise God.
Yeah. It's by the airport over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. International, Madisonville International. Yeah.
We're excited and we're going to go see this place tomorrow, Lord willing.
You know that school is just right around the corner from that.
Yes, I saw that on the
car. Yep. Amen. Praise Amen. God. That's Praise awesome.
Holy hey, Mike, God. Wanted to add that as soon as Diane called, I felt convicted by the Lord for trying to rush him last night. In claiming the first property he had showed us, and I repented of that on the spot, and I asked Theo to take me out to that property, and I was like, boy, I think I like the one Diane has for us much better. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Father.
That is awesome. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. So when is it going to be available? Very soon?
When is what?
When will it be available? Shortly?
1st of October or so.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
She's moving out at the end of the month.
Okay. All right. Praise God. That's awesome.
And so, real quick, Lana did claim we would have a place before I start my new job, which is October 11th. So we're believing
God, it's
it.
So good. Thank you,
so,
sir.
And so merciful.
Amen.
Ooh, my. Thank you, Father. God is so good. That was quick. I'm going to tell you something. I've been looking and looking and looking and looking, and David's been looking and looking for a house with him. And I said, man, this is going to be a miracle. Praise God. And that's what it was. All right, Claire, go ahead.
So excited. Like, that is just so awesome. I'm so glad for the Galchenkos, and I stand in faith with you, Andrew. Your back is healed, brother, and any slander coming your way will just be melted off of the fire of God. So thank you, Lord.
Claire, I got to go tell David this, so you keep busy till I get back, okay?
Oh, I don't think you don't want me talking while you're not around. I'll sing a little song, maybe.
Go for it, Claire. Let's hear you sing.
Why don't we all join in with you?
Yeah, let's sing. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Everything. Oh, yeah. I forgot the words. I'm watching my children go outside. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Everything to God in prayer.
What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what a peace we often bore. Oh, what a needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere in us? We should never be discouraged. Never. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, our companion, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every week. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. To thy friends, lots of people, despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find the solace there. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find the solace there.
It's on an obelisk in Ontario, Port Hope. That's where Scrivens lived. Praise God. Glory to God.
That's awesome, Andrew. Yeah, that is awesome. Glory to God.
Sometimes they leave out that verse about friends in some of the songs I've heard. So they forget some of the lines there.
I didn't know you could sing, bud.
It's a, you know, I like this one.
It's the best voice in the family.
it keeps you in thought. When you have it written down, it puts you in thought of your prayer time too. Like first thing in the morning, you know, you can, it just makes you reflect on your own life and puts thoughts in your head on what you can pray for. Some of the things, you know, that are prevalent in these words that could even be prevalent for your own life. Anyway, that's
all right, Ben, you're next. All right. Go ahead, Claire.
So I know that a lot of you were praying for us, and we did come through a big extended family visit, and a lot of a few people have kind of said to me, I can't wait for you to share. We're so excited for you to share. And I've been a bit apprehensive about it. And that's probably just the enemy, because it wasn't like a revival was started in Rosebery. It wasn't like I plunged my dad under the water and he's come out as a new creation. But I can share a few things with you that might help and might. That's kind of what I want to do, Michael. I won't take much time, but just to maybe describe the winds from a spiritual perspective and what it meant for us in the kingdom to have them here. Was that okay?
Yes.
Okay. So this the night before my parents came, Riyad and I had already been replacing one meal a day with soup or smoothies for a couple of days. We just were led of the Lord that way, and we only realized in the next week that there was actually a fast going on at UBM. So it was it was obviously just in God's providence that we were of the same mind and in that unity of faith, and it was really wonderful. But that Saturday before my parents arrived, I had planned as best I could and prepped everything, and Rian had that week prior, and he knows about this, and he wanted me to share this because obviously he's at work, he can't talk freely in his office, but he had bought a little secondhand car just so that we would have freedom for him to go to work during the day, because he wasn't going to take the whole month off, and then I would have the van to take my folks around. And it seemed fine at the time, and he asked the Lord for confirmation, and we spent a lot of time cleaning the car, and we even took it up to the city on the Saturday. We drove in it instead of the big van to check it out, and as we put fuel in at about 3:30 in the afternoon coming home, it wouldn't start. And so we were like, no, we don't accept this curse. And we were praying for the car in front of all and sundry, and one of the guys from the gas station came out, and he, this young, sweet little looking guy, maybe 19 or 20, and Rian was laying his hands on the car in front of this guy and proclaiming that the car was healed. And I'll be honest, I repented afterwards. I felt a little bit embarrassed. I'm like, whoa, this is tough going, why isn't the car starting? And it's now 2.5 hours later, it's dark. They've had groceries in the car now for hours. And eventually I phoned a friend they have a farm nearby. So they've got many cars because they've got many teenagers. So we just used one of the teenage cars to get home, and got home. And I don't know, we weren't upset with one another. We didn't say anything. It was just really quiet. It wasn't tense. It was just pretty somber. And then I just said to her, we have enough issues with cars. We've always had, there seems to be something. I'm like, and the Lord's going to keep taking us around this mountain until we find out what it is. And I was kind of just a bit upset that my time had been wasted, and I was behind schedule, and we had to leave early the next morning to go to the airport, which is a 3-hour journey. And it was just, I don't know, it was a bit unpleasant. And the long and short of it is that in all of that, there were so many things that were one, because 8-9 years ago, I couldn't have discussions with my husband. I either shut down or I cried or I screamed. That was the default in our marriage. And, the past, I'd say maybe 4-5 years, it hasn't been that way because the Lord's delivered me from so much. And we could really have such a meaningful discussion, a respectful discussion, a loving discussion. And the Lord revealed to him all on his own, because eventually I just said to him, go to the bedroom, go spend time with the Lord. It's fine. He's going to tell you. I don't need to tell you anything. He will reveal whatever this is that's hindering us. And, he went into the bedroom and then he came out and he's like, I know what it is. And I feel like I'm taking my husband's thunder, but he has given me the complete go ahead to share this. But
Yeah, that's fine, Claire. You can. Yeah. I can't speak at work, but this is perfectly fine. I'll type some of it up another day. In any case, so.
What had happened was, in this little white car that we got, the fishing rods had been put in immediately, like the tiny little telescopic fishing rods. Now, just so that you all know, my husband is not a fisherman. Like, he didn't grow up with it. It's not something that has been pursuing him his whole life. It's just kind of been the last sort of three and a half, four years that we've been living in Rosebery. And so it's just, there's so much water around. And he realized that actually what was going on was that he had this little idol of fishing in his heart. Like, it was this thing of, and it was all rooted in goodness. Like, oh, if I go, I'm spending time with the Lord. I'm looking at the creation that the Father's made, you know, and he wrapped it up in a really nice package. But the problem is, the deceit of the heart is evil, and who can know it, right? Like, so point is, the Lord revealed this to him. And so he apologized to the kids and I, and, you know, we were fine, and we had such, then it just spurred on this really, really deep repentant time together, and we were delivered of so much that night. We went to bed really late, much more late than what I would appreciate, having such a drive the next day and knowing who I'm picking up from the airport. But it was just so good, and it was, and we had all the energy, and we had such vitality, and we're not like big coffee drinkers, right? We don't really do that kind of stuff. We have decaf because we need something warm to drink here other than tea. So it's kind of like, that's where we are. Not that we're legalistic or anything. I don't care, but I just want to let you know, like, we're not hyped up on anything else to get us through the day. We really rely on Jesus. And anyway, so we get to the airport. We haven't even told my folks about this little car, and they're big materialistic folks. Anyway, we drive home. We have to drive past.
Let me just stop you there. Like, one thing that happened then as well is that, you know, while I was repenting of a lot of things, basically lying about this, lying to myself that, oh, I'm going to go spend time with the Lord, but actually all I'm doing is just looking for trout in the river or something like that, just really wasting my time. But I had to go and confess to the kids as well. And I'd said to them, you know, taking them hiking with me, and we've been fishing too much, and we could rather be doing something else. And I repented of that to them. But then the next day, and I just went outside, and I took everything out of the shed that I've got, which isn't a lot. You know, it's not like it's a boat and a jet ski or something. It's just rods and a fishing bag and whatnot, and put it all in a car, and went and just dropped it off at a opportunity shop or a Salvation Army shop or whatever. I don't know what you guys call it there. So just that, had to do all of that, and as I put it down at the shop, I look back at the car, and all the kids are looking at me, you know, but they're very sympathetic of it. It was really very humbling, I suppose. There was a lot that needed to be repented of, but that's the big thing. A lot of idols, spirit of lying, and I realized the one thing that it realized was, it's not about the fishing, it's about escaping. It was a spirit of escapism. To go, that's the excuse to get away and get out, or, you know, be alone, or all those things. And that was one of the roots of it. There was a couple of things other than that as well.
So then we fetched the folks, and we had to drive back, and we had to drive past this car, right? And we know that this thing's now got to get towed. Such a stupid, unnecessary expense. Rian's already repented. Like, Lord, now you're free to work. Now, you know, there's like no hindrance. And he says to me quietly in the car, he's like, I think the car's going to work when I start it. I'm like, of course it is, because the power of Jesus is going to be made manifest. Like, it's going to be fine.
Well, I thought that those mechanic angels that you guys had were working on that car through the night. And I was like, I'm pretty sure. I mean, there's no ways it can't start. But then I've got my father-in-law and my mother-in-law in the car with me, and we got to drive past this piece of junk that I bought that's standing next to the road on the way home. So, yeah, humbling there as well. And, yeah, go ahead, Drew.
Anyway, so then he literally just had to, like, turn the key and laid his hand on, prayed and confessed to my dad. But my dad doesn't notice these things. Like, he wouldn't even know what was happening. And turned the car on, and it worked, and we got to get it back home. But it doesn't end there, right? Like, that's amazing. But then it wouldn't start again. like it wouldn't, nothing happened. So now we've got this car that is thankfully at our house, but it doesn't work. And we keep on like, no, but it's going to work. Everything's going to be fine. So eventually there's a like a mechanic that works at the mines, and they've got a team of people. They're like, oh, we know somebody who works on that make of car. We'll send them over. And so we had planned to go take my parents to go look at lots of waterfalls and everything that day. And the guy comes in and he says to Rian, he opens the hood and he goes, this could be anything out of 100 things. He's like, I'm just going to.
He laughs.
He's like, this is going to be an all day game. And I'm like, no, this can't be an all day game because we've got things to do. So I go inside and I pray and I say to the Lord, please let it be the first thing that he tries. I haven't even finished the prayer. And the car's starting. And all he had to do was like turn a little something on the car, whatever that is, whatever.
Yeah. So what happened was that he obviously put his little OBD2 scanner in and he just said, oh man, there's just so many fault codes. This could be anything. He knows these cars. There's so much wrong with it. And I go, no, I'm pretty sure it'll be the first thing you find. And he's going, oh, okay, there's a lot of things. He says, but I'm going to try this thing first. And it was just a little a plug that he just, he literally just unplugged it, had a look at it, blew in, and it goes, oh, it's probably not this, and put it back and says, let's give it a go. And it started. And I've been driving it ever since, every day. It's got lots of other problems, but it's still going. And then it cost me a cent because he literally just came. He's like, oh, I'm happy to get out of the workshop and have a chat to you, and they'll have a look at it later. So that's really just amazing.
That was amazing.
Go ahead. But I'm sorry.
Then what I love is about this is that the Lord used that to get us clean and fill us up, because we would not have been able to handle the trials that were set before us if we were not clean and we were not prayed up and we were not walking in that authority and that power, because it was an honest battle between good and evil for 4 weeks. It was ridiculous. There was, within 72 hours of them being here, my mom raised her hand to me in front of my kids again for the how many of time in my life. I'm a grown woman. And, you know, I put my hand out and I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You're never going to speak to me like that again. Not in front of my kids. These are the children of God. And she broke down in tears. And she had this guttural sob that came out of her. And then she tried to get angry again. And I literally just put my hand out and rebuked the spirits, not my mom. I love my mom. Please hear me. And I started praying for her. And I said to her, Mom, this isn't you. There's something terribly wrong inside of you. And I prayed for her. And those things, I want to say they remained bound in faith, but I had to bind them every day when I woke up and did my warfare before I left my bedroom. But she was bound. Those things were bound for the entire time. And it was no coincidence that you were talking about Jezebel for the 3 weeks or however long it was that my folks were here, because I was listening to those after hours. And I'm not saying I've had a very amazing deliverance from Jezebel. And that's a story for another day, but I can recognize it very quickly because I looked in the mirror into that Jezebel for so long in my life. And so I knew that those spirits were bound. My dad gave me dreams about, the Lord gave me dreams about my parents almost every night to prepare me for what I needed to pray for the next day. He showed me that my dad's not saved, but that, and I know that there's nothing too hard for God. And when it came right down to it, like I got to eventually speak to my parents and ask them, when was their change of heart? Like, when did they decide to follow Jesus? He has no such profession. He's been in church his whole life. And so that made him really think, I think, about what he's actually doing. My mom had something when she was very little, but she's had a very tough life, as everyone has. And so I wanted to share those two things because they kind of stand out. There were spirits of lying. There were spirits of perversion. There were like all of those things that a lot of you maybe experience in your own families. And it didn't touch us. It honestly didn't touch us. We had joy. We praised every day. We praise most days. it's not as intense as what it was, but I think the Lord put an anointing of praise on us so that we could silence the enemy with the praises. And it was just, it was a blessing. And we've come down from that. And we had many trials last week. And we continue to go through trials because he wants to refine us and he wants to make us beautiful. And I just wanted to share that because it is, I know some people are coming out, like I can say this because I love them so much, but Samuel and Tiana are going through stuff with their families, you know, and I know the Galchenkos go through stuff with their families, and my heart is for them because the Lord has shown me that you can overcome that stuff if you, you know, if you're clean and repented up. And I hope it's a blessing. And then I also just have a prayer request. My dreams are being attacked, guys. The Lord has shown me every single problem with a dream. He's even given me words. Like I'll say to him, Lord, I'm typing up this dream and it feels wrong. And my fingers type the word lie. But that's got, and he's just showing me every single time the enemy is trying and he will not win. He will never win because he can't win. And I just wanted to declare that actually, that we've all got our giftings and the Lord will try us with them and he will test us with them. But we remain steadfast in what he's given us from the beginning. So praise be to God.
Can I just add something, Clary, just quickly about the dreams? And maybe this is something that you guys can help with. If you see, this is what we've realized. If you see David on his podcast or his broadcast share dreams from people, pray for those people, because it's every time it's like clockwork. Whenever there's we pray for every single person that shares a dream on there, because the faction, the enemy, all of them, it's out there in the world, and they come against the people who receive these dreams because they try and discourage them. And we have seen that whenever Claire comes on here to share a testimony, or whenever some of her dreams are shared, it's like clockwork. The next day, there'll be some sort of attack or something. We just got to keep coming against that. So I'm asking all of you to be mindful of that so that we don't have any jealousy, or we have any pride, or that we have, that we just keep our eyes open. When you see these people are sharing dreams, pray for them, bind the enemy and the faction against that, because there's a lot of wisdom that's shared in that through the Lord, and they hate it. Yeah, they hate it because it reveals much.
It does. It does. And I tell you, he's exactly right. The dreamers and prophets and prophetess come under attack continually. And that's why we pray continually for them and help them keep up the guard. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. We just thank you, Father, that we cast right now, we cast down all witchcraft, curses spoken against everyone that's involved working with UBM and the Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your wall of protection, your sphere of protection around it, where nothing can in any wise hurt them or get to them, in the name of Jesus. And Father, place it in our hearts to do this every day for them and for ourselves. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord of God, Lord of God, Lord of God, praise you, Father. Praise your holy name, Lord. Amen. It is done. Ooh, my, what a testimony. All right, Missy.
Well, I just wanted to share a little something. I have this Vines app on my phone, Vines dictionary, whatever. And I have it set for different random verses, and I have it set to give me a random verse out of the Psalms every day. And the one that it gave me today was Psalm 100 and verse 2. And it says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. So I was like, okay. So I started singing, and what came to me right away was, I enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. You know that song? And so then I was like, okay, I looked, you know, to see how long it was. It was only like 7 verses, I think, or 6 verses. So I started reading it and I come to verse 4. And that is what verse 4 is I enter his courts, gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I enter his courts with praise. I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. Just a little something. And, you know, I'm not real familiar with very many of the Psalms, and I'm trying to read them more and get more familiar with them. But anyway, as you know, there's a lot of Psalms that have their, you know, just praises, you know, to the Lord. And I was, I just want to share something with you that the Lord really deeply impressed me with. About praise. And before I got on tonight, I was reading the last chapter of the 10 Conquerors of Courage, and it's about praise and thanksgiving. And I would love for us to read that, because it just reiterated a lot of what the Lord was just really deeply impressing me with when I was taking my walk today. You know, when we pray for something, the Lord showed me, when you pray for something, believe you have received, and just thank me from then on out. You don't have to keep fighting the enemy. It doesn't matter if, okay, we probably all have something that we're believing for as far as healing, if you take that for instance, and or praying for a particular person for healing, you know, and just pray and then just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord from then on out. Thank him and praise him and brag on him you don't have to keep fighting the enemy. You know, if the enemy comes at you with pain in a particular area, you believe that you're healed, you just keep thanking the Lord that you are healed. I feel like the Lord was telling me we pay too much attention to the enemy. We talk too much to the enemy. We command him, we put him in his place, and then we just praise and thank the Lord from then on out. And we just keep confessing that we're healed and that pain is not ours. And that's just my sense of what the Lord was telling me. You know, and David says in this chapter, the last chapter of the Tongue Conquers the Curse, about praising and thanksgiving, he says, our prayer should be 1% and our praising and thanking the Lord should be 99%. And that was just what the Lord was really impressing on me. You know, I mean, so that's just the real short of it. But so I was just really, like I said, I was just reading in that. And it's funny, I was reading in the Real Good News about the curse to the end of the one chapter about, it's talking about the curse. I was almost done with that. And it's, you know, one of the first things that David starts talking about in here, in this chapter, in Tongue Conquers the Curse, was, you know, about Job. Talking about Job, and that's where I was at and you know, it's just like the Lord's just really hitting it home. Yeah, hold fast the confession of your hope, that it wavers not, for he is faithful that promised, and confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. And what, and another thing that the Lord really impressed upon me, I believe the Lord's given me the gift of healing. It's one of the gifts I'm believing that he's given me. And it was just like the Lord says, you know, about bragging and boasting on the Lord. You know, that's what, you know, we're commanded to praise you, the Lord. And it's like the Lord said, you know, tell people what the Lord has done for you. Brag on me and how the Lord's been there for you and provided for you and healed you and blah, 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 blah. You know, that's the gospel. You know, that's part, you know, there's many facets of the gospel, but the full gospel is basically, you know, Jesus is our savior in all things. But he said, the more you brag on me and you tell others what I've done for you, the more boldness and faith you're going to have when you go and pray for others. It's like, duh, you know, but anyway, it's just, the Lord is so good. He's so good to show me these things and impress these things on me and just confirm them to me. And I just really, like we've been learning, there's been so much talk about praising and thanking the Lord. And it's so important. Boast on the Lord, brag on him. You know, even confessing in tongue conquers curse, even confessing everything that the Lord has done for you, in spite of if it's quote unquote manifest, I'm healed, I'm delivered, the Lord's provided for me, you know, and confessing who you are and what he's done for you is bragging on the Lord. I'm a new creation in Christ. That's bragging on the Lord. The Lord's made me a new creation. That's, you know, and it's just awesome. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and for so great a salvation, Lord. We just bless you and we thank you. May we not forget all your benefits, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. A lot of times what happens is the devil knows that most Christians are not going to stay in the fight. They're going to give up. And so what she's saying is right. You need to keep praising God that it's done every time you think about it. And then the devil sticks his head up, bash it back down. Bash it back down. Get it out of here. You can't stay. In Jesus' name, you got to go. And keep praising God that it's done. Thank you, Lord. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I don't care what the devil said. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. What happens is the devil will slack off a little bit and you think, well, okay, I got a little relief now. And then we quit and he comes back. Here he is again. You got to go through this again. But just keep doing it and enduring in your faith until the complete manifestation of it comes. And then you know you've got the victory. We give up too quickly, so too many times. Yeah, Pat.
I have been listening to kind of really enjoying these the messages that David has been given, or the old messages, I guess they're just repeats of wilderness living. Mm-hmm. And I can remember, when did those come out, Michael? Did they record those in, like, did those get recorded in like 2007 or something like that? Those are probably,
I don't remember. Been a while.
Those were some of the wilderness living was some of the early stuff that I listened to from UBM at that. No, it had to be. It was in 2005 because I was building a house at that time. But one of the things that hit me today. As a matter of fact, I was just today. David was talking about the wilderness living and just the excitement of going into the wilderness and where that's exactly where we're heading. And the reason for it, obviously, is that God wants to remove, he wants to take us through the shaking so that whatever that which can be shaken is removed from us, and we're left with that which cannot be shaken, even in the time that is coming. And but the thing that I caught today is when I'm trying to go back here. David was talking. I had a conversation with a friend, and we were talking. I was talking about the sin nature that still functions, or I will say functions in the soul, which acts as a traitor to us, that when we are trying to walk with God and trying to obey the Spirit, where he's teaching us or bringing us or leading us or whatever, there's always this little thing in the background just hovering there, waiting to tempt me into unbelief, or tempt me in doubt, or tempt me with fear, or whatever it would be. And it seems like I go through these repetitive scenarios where have something in my mind and the Lord's giving me something, and I'm moving in a direction, and then I will fail in some form or another, either tuck tail and run and whatever the thing is. I don't remember what it is. And it's this little, I'm going to say the sin nature hovering back there in the background, and wants to come in and cut the legs of faith out from under me, and I'll falter, and then obviously go through a stage of repentance and guilt and whatever else is involved in that. But the thing that hit me today is David was talking about when our old man, just like the Egyptians, when they went down into the Red Sea and the Red Sea covered them and it killed them all the strength, all the power, that old man was killed in that baptism. And the thing that, and then of course in Romans 6, it says, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. But the thing that I never caught was when Moses went across, they got on the other side, and look what happened. I'm sorry, I'm stumbling here. Let me go back in my history. In Exodus 15:1, chapter 15, that's when Moses and the children of Israel started singing praise. They sang praise in the song that Moses sang there, the horse and the rider he had thrown into the sea, etc. And they were praising God on the other side, just entering into the wilderness, but having seen the old man destroyed in the Red Sea. And I started to think, you know what? This is the praise. This is the song that we need to sing once we reckon that old man dead, instead of then wrestling with him or waiting to hold him down or trying to practice putting my foot on his neck and all this sort of stuff, is start to praise God and thank God and sing the song that he has accomplished this. He has done it. And to just, I'm going to have to learn that song, put music to it or something, but it is the song of praise. And I think the Lord wants me to go into that he has already accomplished that I don't have to fight that battle. I don't have to wrestle with that old man. He has already done it. All I need to do is praise him and cast my eyes upon him and trust him and sing praises to what he has accomplished already. And I'm thinking of that scripture in Hebrews 10 that says, when Jesus, it says, is talking about Jesus, but when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made the footstool of his feet. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And it's by that one offering that it only took one path through the Red Sea to kill those people, that Egyptian. They didn't have to be dunked two or three times or whatever. It only took one time and he annihilated them. By one offering, he perfected, he completed the whole thing forever, them that are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also beareth witness to us. For after he said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws on their heart, and upon their mind also will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, because they're buried in the bottom of the Red Sea. And so it just hit me a little bit different, and maybe it's because God is bringing us through and showing us the treasures of praise and thanking him and praising him for the work that he has accomplished already. And so I don't know. I guess I just saw it a little bit different today as I was listening to that. And so my prayer is that the Lord would give me grace to incorporate that praise in this daily walk, the daily battles, whenever these things come up, to reckon them dead, as Jesus says, and start to praise him for the fact that it is done. So, I guess that's my prayer request, is that the Lord would give me grace to do exactly that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Give us all the grace to believe that, Lord, that we're all already dead and that Amen. Nothing but Jesus lives in us. We praise Amen. You for it, Father.
Glory, thank you, hallelujah. Jesus. Amen.
And the more that we believe what the Word of God says, that's what happens. All right. Anybody else? Right, did everybody get to listen to the Millennial Reign message that I sent out? Is there any questions, or do you know everything there is to know about everything there is to know about a Millennial Reign? If you know everything there is to know about it, raise your hand. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Go ahead, Julie. Tell us about it. What if you remember what David?
I know enough to know it's going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome time. We're going to be there ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus as yep. overcomers. There's a lot we don't know, but we'll know when we get there. We've got a lot to overcome. We have a lot to do between now and the day of the Lord. But it's, praise God, got a lot of praying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just like Pat was talking about. We have all of this 3.5 years to be great overcomers and the bride. Is going to be the catalyst to do that forever, helping everybody do that. But, I am amazed. When the first time I heard David talk about the Millennial Reign, I said, this can't be. This cannot be. You know, because we'd seen the Left Behind series and we'd gone through all of that garbage. And, I couldn't figure out why would the Lord not save a one person, not one person out of there. And I finally figured it out myself without anybody telling me, is that, well, you know, the only reason that I can think of that the Lord would do that is to show us that the human heart is continually wicked. And without the grace of God, you're going to turn against God. And that's exactly what has happened in the Millennial Reign. And I thought that was, I said, my goodness. And David goes through all of the things that you heard about in people's idiocy or ignorance about the last trump. That I've heard that it was at least 3 last trumps, you know. And I said, for goodness sake, I knew that was a lie because the last trump's the last trump, isn't it? Yeah. And I say, show me in scripture where that, well, you see here, and then they give you some kind of circle reasoning that didn't make sense and try to get you off the subject. But when you understand tribulation, like David lays it out, and it is finished in the Hidden Manna series. I think that's chapter 3. You understand it. I mean, it's just hard not to understand it way he lays it out there in 1 Corinthians 15 and all of those verses that he gives us. But anyway, I thought it was an excellent teaching on the Millennial Reign. And he did qualify, as Julie said, that we don't know all there is to know about the Millennial Reign. We won't know until we get there. And so that's correct. Yeah, Ariana.
Yeah. So I've never ever believed in the rapture before the tribulation in my life, and this created a lot of enemies for me. I had this one sister who was very upset with me because of the thought of being persecuted or even martyred. And I said to her, people are being martyred this day, we're very speaking, why do you get away with it? Because, you know, you're a Western Christian or whatever. Anyway, I just want in my head sorted the timeline, I guess. So the tribulation, then the Bema seat, though, is that happening during the tribulation to those who are living? The Great White Throne Judgment, is that right at the end of the millennium? And so the people who survive after the Great Day of Wrath, you know, why do they get to survive? Is that because they built bunkers or whatever? You know, because I thought the Day of God's Wrath was to get rid of all the wicked. But yes, we know that our Heavenly Father said he would never destroy the earth again, or you know, kill everyone like he did in the days of Noah. I understand that. But I'm wondering, my questions are, where are these people coming from then? Why are they allowed to survive? I guess some of it is answered. That he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Are we going to be actually in one physical place or location when we are raptured before, you know, on the eighth day, as it was after the 7 years? Where are we raptured to? You know, people's bodies are changed in the twinkling of an eye. And why are we transferred back? And after the Great White Throne Judgment, if that happens at the end of the millennium, and the war of Gog and Magog, is that when the new heavens and the new earth, and then everything's reset again?
I can't keep up with all the questions. Let's see. let's start out with number one. What's number one? What's your number one question? Just ask one question and we'll answer.
Okay, important for me to understand.
Where do all the people come from that go into the millennial reign? The natural people that's the people that survive. What goes on during that war? There's another war, you know, the people. If you remember, David talks about it in Hidden Manna. I don't know if you've listened to it or not, but in Hidden Manna, he talks about the war, the recompense of the wicked at the rapture. And we're going to be able to, the bride and the man-child will be able, or the bride will be able to witness 40 days of that recompense of the wicked. And there will be some people, natural people, survive that. I don't know if they're going to be down in the ground or whatever, you know, some of them get underground and all that. But whatever it is, those are the natural people that will be left to reign live during the millennial reign. And if you know anything, none of them would die, I don't think. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to live. Is anybody hear anything different? Let me know. But I think that's what's going to happen. Is they're going to live the whole 1,000 years? Well, if you've got two people starting out 1,000 years, you're going to have a bunch of folks later on, you know, by that time. And that's where they come from. Natural people that live through the recompense of the wicked, that last few days of tribulation. Does that make sense?
Yep, I get that. Okay, the second question is, where are we actually raptured to? And this is the question I had before as well, about all the faithful patriarchs and matriarchs and everyone who was faithful and is written in the Book of Life from the time of Genesis to present day of the true sanctified saints. When we're in the millennium and ruling and reigning, you know, I pray that be the case, but will they be resurrected in physical, well, in their glorified bodies as well? Will we be amongst them?
We'll be there in our glorified bodies. We'll be there in our glorified bodies. The people that's going to be ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years, and they'll be ruling with a rod of God. It's going to be a true theocracy. You will do what we tell you to do, what God tells you to do. You will do it. And that's the way it's going to be.
But will that be also Moses and you know, all the other patriarchs and matriarchs, Joshua, Caleb, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Micah, Haggai, Hosea?
What about
will they all be there?
Oh, you'll be able to visit with them. Absolutely. They'll be in heaven. You call Jeremiah up anytime you want to. I remember.
So this is my question. So the ones reigning will be physically on the earth, not heaven. Sorry if I'm asking.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. Just the ones that are going to be reigning are the people that are with Christ at the end. That's the bride from all over the world. It's not just going to be one little old place.
The first fruits, sorry?
The first fruits and the bride. Yes. Yeah, Andrew.
So they're the ones who are alive and remain, isn't it? The ones in the tribulation that have been martyred, they're in heaven. So my question ultimately is, when does... Because it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. So do the people in heaven ever get to meet these other, the bride on earth? When, you know, do the twain ever meet? Because it talks about the new heavens and new earth. Do they become one? Do they get to meet? Or do the people...
That's going to be at the end. That will be at the end. It's when they... The battle of... what do they call that?
Gog and Magog.
Yeah. And when they do that, he's not going to destroy the earth. He's just going to destroy the surface of the earth. And that'll be part of the new earth, you know, just like he did with Noah.
So everyone who is in heaven, which I don't know who they are, but we do know of some that are definitely there. Will they then come to join the bride on the earth?
Well, you could be able to go back and forth, I guess. Because you're going to be in a glorified body, the ones who are alive and remain in the air, all of them are going to be having a glorified body at some point in time. I got three hands up, Ariana. Hang on just a second. We'll get right back to you. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I just want to remind everyone that after Jesus went through his death, burial, and resurrection, he put up for 40 days straight. Yeah. He couldn't die anymore after that. He already had her. He came in the form of a man. And of course, you know how he showed up on the road to Damascus in front of Paul. You know, he had a light body, a body of a beaming light that outshone the noonday sun. I've always wanted to ask someone from physics how much light you need for that. And I think turn it down a bit. So... 40 times straight, you know, like showing up over there and then showing up somewhere else. And so
it's not that I don't believe it, because I do. I just want to understand. Maybe it's not for this time. Maybe we are yet to understand some of these things more fully.
I just think we have to emulate Jesus, you know, and that's the way he showed up. And I don't know what it's going to be like. I sort of think after a great war like that, we're going to need to help some of these people or some stuff, you know.
Here's the thing to remember. You be ready. We have to be ready. If you're not ready, you don't have to worry about all that other stuff. I'm telling you, you want to be in the bride. And the way to be in the bride is to overcome. Well. Ariana, hang on just a second. All right. The way to be in the bride is to overcome the flesh and the world. And the Lord said in the parable of the sower, you must bear the fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold. That's the fruit of Jesus in your life. And if you do that, you're going to be fine.
Amen. Now go ahead. And we do that every day, don't we? You know, we do that every day.
Yeah.
And I would like to know as well, because I have as yet to meet, you know, saints. I don't know if there is Unleavened Bread Ministry brothers and sisters in my country. I pray that there is and that I get to meet them, you know, God willing, and he will make that happen. But, you know, also we are commissioned by Jesus to go and share the gospel. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, is UBM, you guys over there, going to help instruct us how to do that as well? By God's Spirit.
We're doing it even as we speak.
Yeah, I do as well, but I'm not going, you know, I'm not going door to door. I mean, I do it wherever I am, but I'm with the Lord. I would like to be amongst, you know, I'd like to go out by twos and be door knocking, going to every town, city, and, you know.
Well, you'll have your chance when the tribulation starts. The time right now is to prepare yourself for this great happening that's fixing to happen. And the way we do that is, like I said before, and David's been preaching for many years, and that's to die to self and to die to the world. And amen. Once we get, and to build our faith up by reading and renewing our mind with the Word of God. And when we do that, you'll know exactly what to do, because God will lead you.
Yeah, and he already has in various different ways. He's also sent people to my home. So I don't even have to go anywhere. He's sent people to my home who've asked me, could you please pray for me? Or I've had people, just Christians who are doing another job, like doing selling on the doorstep, but then I know they're Christian. And I say to them, you know, I know you're Christian. They'd be like, how do you know that? And then I'd start witnessing to them as well and telling them, you know, and giving them words of knowledge. So it's wonderful how God's Holy Spirit works and is very powerful. The thing is, I feel that I've given up a lot of the world, but that makes me strange to most people. Like, because I've already exited a lot of it out, you know. So I find that it makes me very isolated, though. Instead of opening vistas, it seems to close them. So.
You're looking at about 25 people here that feel the same way that you do.
Hallelujah. I don't feel so alone.
This is why we have this outreach, because we've got people all over the world that feel the same way that you do. Amen. All right, go ahead, Donna. You're muted. Yeah, go ahead and unmute.
Can you hear me now?
I can, yes, ma'am.
Okay. So can the bride be in the first fruits?
Can the bride be in the first fruits?
Yes.
The first fruits are going to come out of the bride.
So I guess my question is, what if, and I'm not saying this for me, but what if a bride comes into 100-fold fruit? What would be her job in the tribulation?
When you say the bride, you're talking about a number of people, aren't you? Men and women are going to be in the bride.
Okay, right.
Men and women are going to be in the bride, and the first fruits are the 100-fold overcomers coming out of the bride. That'll be the first fruits, the man-child ministry. And then at some point in time, what I understand, there'll be a second wave of the man-child coming out of the bride that will come sometime a little later. David talks about that in Hidden Manna, and I've been a while since I've heard that portion of it, but I understand there's going to be two waves of them. And he believes that the 144,000 are the man-child. That's how many man-childs there's going to be. He doesn't know that for a fact, but just because of what the scriptures say in that, about that, that's what he believes. And all the rest of them in the that are in the bride are in the bride.
So then I guess my question is, okay, so I feel like God has been training me for years and years to die to the flesh, like all of us, and so forth. What is the role of the women in the tribulation?
Okay. I figured that's where we was going. That's fine. That's a good question. That's a great question. And the question is this. The answer is this. You'll be, I started to say something, but I got to keep myself down. You'll be praying, interceding for the men that go out and minister. Some of you will be going out with their husband to minister. But primarily the job for the women is going to be to intercede for the people who go out and to do whatever's necessary, what women can do. That's to teach the young ladies the things that the Bible talks about.
So then, I guess, okay, so I'm sorry.
They can heal, they can deliver, they can do all of those things.
So they can heal. Because I've been prophesied many times that I would, that God had a healing ministry, that he was going to use me in healing in the last days.
He's going to use a lot of women in healing. I believe that, yeah.
Okay.
I do. I believe he'll use a lot of women in the prophetic.
Right.
I believe he'll use a lot of women in all the gifts except for the offices. They won't be utilized in the offices, but they'll be utilized with the gifts because the gifts come straight from God. Who's going to say, oh, you can't do that? Remember what Jesus told him? When they said, right. Well, this guy, the disciples told him, they said, there's people over here doing this. He said, if they're doing something with me, he said, leave them alone. Let them go ahead and heal folks, you know. So, yeah, no, it's you'll be able to utilize the gifts of the Spirit will be used in all of the, in some of the women in a mighty way. I'll add that. Mm-hmm. And some of the women are going to go with their husbands. I see them being translated to different areas to yank people out of harm's way or whatever needs to be done.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you. That helps.
Yeah, you're not going to be sitting up there just playing a little harp or something. I mean, she's going to be busy.
Oh, good.
There's going to be a lot to do, I guarantee. When this revival hits, people are going to come flocking to the signs and the wonders, and that's what you're going to be doing. Yeah. That's what the bride's job is to disciple. To disciple the people coming into the kingdom. And that's why we're all getting ready for it. We're all preparing our hearts with all these good teachings that the Lord has given David and other people.
Amen.
We fill our hearts up with the word of God. We'll be ready. I guarantee you. We're going to have a time. It's going to be an awesome time. And you women, you're going to have an awesome time. I guarantee you.
Can't wait.
I guarantee you. You're going to have an awesome time. Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I was thinking about.
By the way, let me just put this in there, Donna. You're not going to be cleaning toilets and making biscuits. That's not what your job would be, okay?
Oh, good. Ahead, Hallelujah.
Praise God. That's just a part of it, but that's not all of it. Go ahead, Pat, before I get in trouble here.
Okay. I'll rest here.
Amen, Isaac.
Sometimes I don't know if it's a concept about, you know, we'll be praying or we'll be interceding, you know, and thinking of that as being maybe less valuable in the kingdom or something like that. I'm not quite sure. But I'm reminded of, we just talked about this, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Charles Finney and his prayer partner, Nash, I believe, Father Nash, or whatever his name was. Literally, I think Charles Finney will be the first to tell you that God's hand was on him and was overwhelming the environment because of Brother Nash's prayer and intercession. So that is, and I'm thinking of that verse in Genesis, of God creating a help for Adam, meet for the work that he called him to do. And so there is, you know, there will be, you know, couples going out and ministering and whatnot. But God definitely has a place for everybody, and everybody has a place in his kingdom. The thing that I was thinking of when, is it Ariana? Am I pronouncing that your name right?
Yes, you are, Ariana, yeah.
There's kind of a little bit of, you know, when sometimes we think of, you know, people on the earth and, you know, what it's going to be like, people in heaven, are you going to be in heaven or are you going to be on the earth or whatever. When the Lord sets us free inside and perfects that which he has created us to be, whether we're in a physical place on the earth is irrelevant, because we will be in heavenly places. We will be in heaven because
we already are in a way, aren't we? We already are, because we pray and we enter, as it was, we transcend in our minds, don't we? By his spirit, he enables that.
But we glimpse it. We see it darkly now.
Yeah.
But when God, when he accomplishes what he wants within us, that seeing darkly is going to be removed, and I believe we will be functioning as one in Jesus. And so the place of, I mean, when you're looking at, thinking about Philip, and he's one minute he's in the carriage with this the Ethiopian eunuch, and boom, he's gone. He disappears, you know. So I think that is going to be more commonplace than not. And when we lose the weight of that old life, so to speak, that and enter in and are resting in that freedom. I'm thinking, this is crazy, but I'm thinking of this, the concept that the Lord gave me about rapture. And it was kind of back from my old hang gliding days. And you're going to know if you are ready for rapture when you see, because what's going to happen is the ground is going to disappear under you. And you're either going to be looking down fearfully, white knuckling, trying to figure out where I'm going to land, how I'm going to get down, or you're going to be looking up with your arms wrapped around Jesus. It just, you know, and it's where we have been brought into a place of being comfortable. And I'm thinking the reason I say I go back to the hang gliding days is when you first start hang gliding and you're learning how to fly this kite, and you bail off of that mountain or that high place, they call it white knuckling, because you're holding for dear life onto your guiding bar, and you're literally, the adrenaline is pumping so quickly and everything, and you are just looking for a place to land, and you're looking down and just, man, I gotta make it down there. I gotta make it, you know. Well, that happens for a certain amount of time until you get used to flying and controlling, and then at some point you stop looking to get down and you start looking to catch the thermals out there in the air so that you can catch the thermal and go up. And the concept is to see how long you can stay up in the air. But it takes a certain amount of time before you lose that fear, so to speak, and are just, you know, frantically trying to get down to the ground where you think it's safe. And so it's kind of the same way that, you know, God wants to release us from this inner fear of falling, I guess you might say, and release us to be free to go in the Spirit with Him. So anyway, I just was thinking about that when you were talking about, you know, where they're going to be on the earth or the heaven or, you know, this or that or whatever. So anyway, I'm through.
Amen. Thing about hang gliding is it always comes down sometime or other. Some fast and some not so fast. Go ahead, Andrana.
Thank you. I had a question. There's a little while back when you said that us, the rest of the family that's not in the US, we were going to get instructions. And I was just wondering if I missed it, or did we get the instructions?
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
A little while back, you said that the brothers and sisters, you know, the family that's not in the US, we were going to get mm-hmm. instructions. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if I missed the instructions or they're just not out yet.
No, I sent it out. Everyone that didn't get an individual specific instruction, it meant that you're going to be right there doing it where you are. You're going to be preaching or ministering right there where you are. People in different countries, different places that hadn't gotten instruction to come here will be ministering right where they are. That's what the Lord said.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wherever it is, it's going to be nice. It's going to be good. It's going to be awesome. I just want to encourage you to fill yourself up with the Word of God. You're going to need it, you know. Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, just what you were just talking about, I know a lot of the people on the fellowship here have passed out the Sovereign God book to a lot of people. And that's, I don't know, seems like a good way to get the word out. That's mm-hmm. one of the good ways to get the word out, just to have that available and ready to pass out so that we're not teaching, but we can get the word out to the other people. But, you know, and there's, of course, so many other books that are wonderful, too, that he has that are available to pass out. So I don't know, Ariana, if they're in your language. I'm not sure if they are.
Yeah, I've passed out God's vaccine book to a few people in the supermarket. The lady who was scanning, we were chatting about Jesus and everything. And Jesus told me to put it in my bag. He said, there's a lady there who works there, who goes to, you know, the apostate church, but her heart is true to me. And I want you to take this book and you will see her. And so he got me to talk to her, and I said, look, Jesus told me to give you this book. I would like to give it to you as a gift. And so I've done that, and I've done it. So I got quite a few of those, and I've distributed the God's vaccine. I think I've distributed 3 of those out, and I have the Great Falling Away. You know, I ordered these off Lulu because I don't have a printer or anything. So I do have some, and I bought extra Bibles as well to be able to hand them out to people who need them. So yeah, I'm doing. So I have been given instructions, as it was, by the Spirit already. Yeah. As to how to be prepared. And I think also we need to be honest that, yes, it will be amazing and glorious and wonderful, but it will be difficult. It's not going to be like now. It's not going to be a walk in the park. You know, there's going to be a lot going on. People are going to be hungry. You know, we're going to have to multiply the food. We're entering in the last 3.5 years and looking and seeing what they want to implement. You know, Heavenly Father told me this in 2015, but now I'm seeing the cogs in the wheels turning. And, you know, we won't be having any sort of physical cash, you know, and it will be multiplying, through miraculously. And like, I know I have to leave here because I haven't bought this place. This actually belongs to the government. In my head, it belongs to God because everything God owns and belongs to. But I know that they won't allow me to stay here. So I know I'm going to have to go literally into the wilderness. But that's what God needs me to do anyway, because it distributes his truth far, because I'll have to be on the move, living in a tent and in a, you know, in a sleeping bag, but it will give me more opportunity to spread his word, you see, to other people, because I will come across more people that way than just being here as well. So he's already sorted it out anyway. So it's all wonderful, really.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Claire.
I wanted to perhaps pray for Ariana, because we know what it's like to be alone in a country. I know that's your own country, but I mean, loneliness is loneliness, right?
It's not my country. No, it's not, because I am a citizen of heaven. I don't feel any affinity or filiation to any country, you know. But yeah, I'm not exactly lonely because I fellowship with the Lord, but I don't have many people, well, hardly anybody. He is my fellowship, he is my companion. I spend all my time with him, and it's wonderful, and I love it. And he does give me opportunities, like with my neighbors, and he gives me assignments to do things. But because I always speak about the Lord, people come away from me. And he even sent me to churches, but they won't even, because I won't be a member or anything. I said to them in 2020, in a month's time, in February, I said to them, God's going to shut your doors. And they said, no, that will never happen. I said, you watch, wait and see. And it happened. They said, they will never associate with me. I could understand if I was sinning, but they said, I have to go to their stupid, God-forsaken building. Otherwise, they will not associate with me. And God actually, one of the ladies who said that to me, he gave her a heart attack, actually. She survived, though, praise God. But she's still not understanding why she had that heart attack. And and the people I do know and have, you know, from the past, or even people who call themselves Christians, they, because I talk always about the Lord, it somehow puts them off. I don't know why. You know, I do talk about them, but but because the Lord just teaches me all the time, and I'm in his word. I don't watch the TV. I don't waste my time with rubbish. I just spend all my time with the Lord, you know. So, and he, because this is the paradox, you see, because they come away from you, then you spend more time with the Lord. And the more time you spend with him, he then fills that need and just pours his spirit and his truths and everything upon you. And then you want to share that. But people, you know, and it seems to see in this country, especially in England, they have this mentality of churchianity. If you're not part of a church, and every church in England, there is no such thing as house churches. They go into a house, but they're connected to the church, which is connected to the government. Okay. So unless you're part of a church building, they class you as not a Christian. Okay. They class you as not a Christian. So, God sent me into the town a few months ago on a Saturday. There was people preaching there. And it was actually during the time of Purim. And so I was able to use that. And the man who was speaking, his name was Dion, and they invited me to their church. And I just said to him, what is the gospel? Tell me, what is the gospel? His daughter, his 9-year-old daughter, knew more than her own dad. And of course, my heart went out to the daughter, and I prayed for these people. Then one of their members got a music thing, okay? And he was started rapping. And this man looked at me, said, see, he's on fire for God. I said, no. I said, he's on fire with the world. I said, you repackage God and just label Jesus on the world. I said, I came away from the world for a reason. And God, you know, Heavenly Father's Spirit came over me. And I said, see, this is an abomination of the desolation in this place. I said, this man is shaming our Lord and our God. Okay. And he said, he agreed with me. He said, I do agree with what you said. And I said, it's not what I say. So I used the Bible. I actually took a physical Bible with me, the numeric English Bible. Here we go. I took that with me and I opened it up and showed him scripture after scripture and explained to him and asked him, did you know it was Purim just like 2 days ago? And, you know, I asked him about the vaccine. What do they think about the vaccine? He said, oh, well, most of us haven't taken it, but we allow people here who have, and they don't teach them about healing. They don't teach them that it's actually not right. And so, yeah, it's crazy. You know what? It's just so hard. It's so hard. And then
would you like for her to pray for you, Ariana?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Go ahead, Claire.
Thank you, Father, for bringing Ariana and her intense love and passion for you, Lord.
Amen.
It is wonderful to watch when people are on fire for you, Lord. Father, I pray that you would send Ariana mature, measured, faithful believers so that she can increase the fellowship that she has with you, to spill over with them, because where two or more are gathered, Lord, there you are. And that's my simple prayer for Ariana, that she would find some solid Christian friendship that you have brought right to her door, because you've done it for us and you do it for many others and you can do it for her. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, we just send the angels out there to bring them to her shortly in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Ariana. Ooh, glory to God. Okay, has anybody else got any questions? How about we're out of time? Out of time. One more. What do y'all want to talk about next? Or do you want to keep on with it? End time stuff? What does that mean, Missy?
I'm right here. Can we read the last chapter in The Tongue Conquers the Curse?
Read the last chapter?
Yeah, chapter
7. Not tonight.
I know, not tonight. That's what we want to talk about next. We wanted to go on.
Sure. Why? I'm asking because...
It's on praise and thanksgiving. It's really good. Okay.
All right, we can do that. Where'd you sit, Julie? I thought you had your hand up. Go ahead, Pat.
No, I was just
jumping on my mute button. Sorry.
Don't do that again. Lord of God. Okay, Lord, we just thank you for another good night. We praise you, Father, for all the good things that we brought out. And hopefully, Lord, that everybody's questions got answered. And, Lord, we look forward to Thursday night with the Tongue Conquers a Curse, the last chapter. I think that's 7, isn't it? Yeah, chapter 7. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody and getting them in bed tonight and getting a good night's sleep or a good day's work, whichever one it is, wherever part of the world they're in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. And Lord, those that are coming here, we ask that you get them ready and get them over here. Cause we're about ready to start this big circus in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for getting Theo the job and the house all in one day. That's awesome. Lord, you're an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. It looked like a nice home, too. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, y'all be blessed.